Have a seat. Happy last Monday of February. We're doing it. We're getting through this. Would you all pray with me one more time? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thanks. Hey, usually I get up here and I share a cute little anecdote about my kids, but I decided to mix it up a little bit. Today I'm going to share a cute little anecdote about my dog. Do you guys know I have a dog? She is the best dog ever. Her name is Harper, and if any of you have ever come within like 4 feet of me, you probably know that I have a dog because Harper sheds a lot, and so I always have dog hair on my clothes, particularly when I'm wearing black, and my kids like always have dog hair like in their snot, you know, it's gross. Don't worry, it gets grosser from here, so if that was gross for you, you might want to. So, okay, Harper, we love her. She was my first baby. Then I had babies, and I discovered that dogs are very helpful for people who have babies in the house. My son Sam is 10 months old, and he's starting to learn to eat, which is really a skill that he is learning. He's not there yet, because most, I would say, probably a good 75% of what he aims to put in his mouth winds up on the floor, which is where it's super helpful to have a dog in the house because the dog, she's getting fat, man, with these two kids. She's supposed to weigh like 40 pounds and she's somewhere in the like 55 pound, right? She loves Sammy. Sammy and Harper have a symbiotic relationship. Anyway, so I love having Harper around because Harper cleans up the mess that I don't feel like cleaning up as a mom. But here's the thing about dogs, right? I'm a dog person. I love dogs, but dogs are not super smart. And one of the things that bugs me about Harper is that after 10 years of living in my house, she still hasn't figured out that when I say, Harper, look, and I point, that I don't want her to look at my finger. I want her to look at the thing that I'm pointing to. So sometimes Sammy will spit up. This is where it gets really gross. Sometimes Sammy will spit up some milk and I don't feel like cleaning it up, so I go, Harper, look! And Harper will look at my finger, and then I got this spit up over here that I want Harper to, sorry, it's gross, but we're friends. We're friends. Don't judge me. Okay, why am I telling you this disgusting anecdote about my dog Harper, who's adorable, by the way? Why am I telling you this? Because I think sometimes we're dumb like dogs. I think sometimes God says, look, and we look at the finger instead of looking at the thing that God is pointing to. I want you to think about that image as we go back to the book of Mark, which we are studying together. Mark 11. This is the story of Jesus. We often call it cleansing the temple. So read these words with me. Mark 11, starting at verse 15. Then Jesus and his disciples came to Jerusalem. And Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So what does this have to do with my dog looking at my finger instead of looking at the thing that I want the dog to see? Well, let's start by talking for a minute about the temple. If you guys were here last night and you heard Pastor John Brown from Pillar Church speak, he said something about the temple. He said, you know, the temple is not the same thing as church. We're going back to ancient times. The people of Israel had a really different notion of what the temple was than what we consider church or the sanctuary to be today. And one of the things that was different about it, as John Brown mentioned yesterday, was that the belief was they were taught that the temple was the place where God dwelled. It was the most holy place on the whole earth, that God had chosen to live on Mount Zion in Jerusalem in this place called the Holy of Holies. And what that meant for the people of Israel was that there were all kinds of rules about how they were to interact with this most holy place, which makes sense because God is holy, totally different than us, and we need to know what it looks like for us to interact with God's holiness. So there were all kinds of rules and regulations in place. Books of the Bible were devoted to this idea of how do we interact with this Holy of Holies. Two things I want you to note that kind of show up in here. The first thing is this. People were supposed to come to the temple to interact with the Holy of Holies. That's where God was. So especially on important feast days like Passover, when this story happens, people came from all over, wherever they lived. Sometimes it took them days at a time to get to the temple so that they could experience the holiness of God where God dwelled. So that's one thing. The second thing is this, is that sacrifices were involved. So the way they were taught to interact with God's holiness was by bringing sacrifices. People who had the means were expected to sacrifice big things like sheep. People who were poor couldn't afford the sheep. So there were other things that they could sacrifice, like doves. And this shows up in this story. So the money changers, Jesus is mad in the story at the money changers. Who are those people? Well, part of what the system was that you had to use the temple currency to buy the sacrifices in order to interact with God. So people would come from wherever they were from, and they would use their currency from wherever they were from, exchange it on the temple, and then they would be able to buy their dove or their sheep so that they could sacrifice with God. So what we have here, so the other thing to note is that you probably wouldn't bring your own dove or bring your own sheep because there were rules about the way these animals had to look in order to be able to be sacrifices that were worthy of this holy God. They couldn't have any spots on them, right? They couldn't have any blemishes. So you wouldn't bring your sheep with you from Galilee. You would buy your sheep when you got to the temple because you wouldn't want to take the risk that something bad would happen to that sheep on the way from Galilee, and then you'd have to turn around and you'd miss the whole thing. So people would come to this temple. They have to exchange their money and pay a fee. Then they would have to buy these sacrifices and pay a big fee. So what they had was this big market commerce, this whole business that had kind of cropped up around the idea of people interacting with the most holy. And people had begun to exploit those who wanted to interact with God. Jesus was mad about something, right? When he came into the temple that day. It's possible that he was mad because there was this transactional relationship that was happening with God. People were making money out of other people's desire to interact with God. Probably Jesus was mad about that. Makes sense to me. I think Jesus was also mad because the poor, particularly, and the foreigners who had to exchange their money, they were being particularly exploited by this system. That did not look like the glory of God to Jesus. I think Jesus was probably also mad about that. But behind that stuff, I think those were the symptoms of something bigger that was going on. And I think the something bigger was this, that the people of Israel had become so focused on the temple and on the ways that they were interacting with this holy God, that they had forgotten that the temple was like my finger. It was pointing to something. They were like my dog, focused on the sign, the arrow that was pointing. They were so focused on the temple that they forgot the temple existed for something else. And that something else was that the glory of God would fill the whole earth. God had chosen the people of Israel for a reason, to do something specific. God had chosen the people of Israel to be people who pointed others to God's glory. And instead of pointing others to God's glory, these people had begun to exploit those people, especially the poor, especially the foreigner. they'd turned those people into a way for them to make money rather than pointing them to the glory of God. God's big plan was that the whole earth would be filled with his glory. God's big plan for Israel was that they would be the finger that pointed others to God, and instead they had gotten stuck. They had gotten stuck with the maintenance of their faith. They had gotten stuck with experiencing God for themselves. They had gotten stuck with this idea that they had to be pure, that they had to be forgiven, that they had to worship God, that they forgot the whole reason to be pure, the whole reason to be forgiven, the whole reason to worship God was that God's glory could fill the whole earth, that they had a job to do. They were so stuck looking at the finger that they forgot to look at what the finger was pointing to. They were so stuck at the temple, they forgot to look at what the temple was pointing to. And I wonder, friends, if we are like those people. I wonder if Jesus wouldn't be overturning some tables in our places of worship today, because this is my impulse, is to so maintain my faith, to be so serious about ensuring that I feel forgiven, that I am washed clean, that I experience the power of prayer, that I have fellowship with people, that I know that I'm loved, all of the good things about our faith, all the gifts that we receive from the Lord, that somehow I think I can look at these gifts as if that's what faith is about, is me receiving these gifts. And I think that's not what it's about at all. These gifts are a sign that are pointing to something else, and that something else is a call. You all are people of faith. We are people of faith together. But we don't exist as people of faith just to be people of faith. We exist as people of faith so that we can help God fill the whole earth with his glory. We have a job to do. Paul talked on Friday about the fig tree. Do you remember this? That Jesus cursed this fig tree because it wasn't producing figs. The whole point of the fig tree was to bear fruit. The whole point of having faith, of being forgiven, of experiencing the love of God is to bear fruit. And that looks like pointing the whole world to the glory of God. We live this out. Before we go, I think one challenge and question that is lingering in me that I want to have linger with you guys. Sometimes I think it's easy to say we point to God's glory and we just say that's the end of it. But Jesus was mad about something specific. Jesus was mad about the exploitation of the poor. I wonder if Jesus wants to overturn some tables in us, ways that we are participating, like the Israelites did, in exploiting people who are vulnerable and who are marginalized. I think that this is against God's glory in a very specific way. So I want you guys to think a little bit today. We're spending so much time maintaining our faith that we're forgetting that our job is to show God's glory to the world, and that we can help to do that by thinking, gosh, how are we exploiting people who are poor instead of pointing them to God's glory with our lives? This is a big challenge. Let's pray together and then we can go. Loving God, we want to see your glory, and we want to be people whose faith has a purpose to point the whole world to that glory. May your will be done in our lives. In your name, amen. Go in peace.